The Ark of Millions of Years, Chapter 5, The Gates of Heaven. The gates of heaven are the doors of entry from our universe to the spiritual or eternal heavens. It is the passageway from the physical dimension to the spiritual fifth dimension called the dimension of soul. In the spiritual dimension, a physical body cannot move at all. Only the soul can move through the spiritual dimension, and it is for this reason that this domain is called soul. These entryways are referenced to in many ways in almost all the sacred scriptures and ancient writings as heaven was open, the heavens were open, the gates of heaven were open, the heavens were rolled back, the gates of hell and hell gate. A heaven has many portals of entry from one to another. They could number in the hundreds or thousands, as the creation is immense. There are records that describe gatekeepers, referred to as watchers, sentinels, and toll collectors, who monitor the gates and decide whether or not to grant permission to enter that particular heaven, depending on the qualification of that soul requesting entry. All scholars, modern and ancient, agree that there appears to be a difference in energy spectra, almost referred to as more esoterically as differences in glory. Matter from one heaven cannot simply pass into another heaven without a correct level of energy or glory. All records agree that anyone who sees a being of higher glory or is permitted to tour heaven must first be transfigured. This is a temporary and apparently authorized change of the mortal body to withstand the glory of the greater being without being burned by its presence. Visits by the resurrected Christ and numerous visits by angels don't seem to require this change. It seems that beings of higher glory may travel to lesser realms, but beings of lower realms must be transfigured to move into higher heavens. The Zohar, or the Book of Splendor, states there are heavens and heavens, to wit, lower heavens with an earth beneath them, and upper heavens also having an earth beneath them. Furthermore, there is in each heaven a chieftain who is in charge of part of the world and a part of the earth. Each heaven is provided with a certain number of portals, and the charge of each chieftain extends from one portal to the next, that he may not encroach on the sphere of his fellow chieftain by even so much as a hair breadth, except he receive authorization to exercise dominion over his neighbor. The mighty gates of heaven are said to be enormous and soar in height. They can be open to accommodate passage of anything, regardless of size, even planets, stars, and galaxies. All the gates have names. From some of the ancient writings and scriptures, we have learned the names of a few. In the Pseudepigrapha, the Forgotten Books of Enoch, in the Secrets of Enoch, there are six sets of gates named the Eastern Gates, and six sets of gates named the Western Gates. Other writings give names to some of these gates as the Gates of Righteousness, the Gate of Magdan, which according to the Kabbalah is located over the land of Israel, the Gate of Surt in the underworld, and the Gates of Death. Perhaps the most infamous of gates in heaven are the Pearly Gates, a nickname humorously applied to the 12 gates of pearl that open to the holy celestial city, Jerusalem. Though they do not open the heavens, they do open to that city, and are noteworthy of mention that there are other gates as well in the heavens. Saint Peter is often portrayed as sitting outside these gates, checking a roll or scroll for names of souls permitted to enter. The Gate of Paradise opens into the Garden of Eden. If the term heaven was opened is used, only one gate is open from our physical world to the next spiritual heaven. If the term "the heavens were opened" is used, then all the gates are opened from our physical universe to all the spiritual heavens. It is impossible for a mortal being from this planet to travel to the spiritual fifth dimension without first undergoing a change to the body by one of four ways: experiencing death, being transfigured, becoming translated, or being resurrected into a perfected body. The physical body we possess is not equipped to endure travel to that realm. However, an open gate could also mean a portal or wormhole opening into the fourth dimension, whereby a mortal physical being under the right circumstances could enter. The right circumstances would be entering via spacecraft designed for interdimensional travel, a technology we as yet do not possess on this planet, at least as far as we know. Another circumstance would be a disembodied soul accessing this realm. Lastly, another circumstance would be persons with certain psychic abilities accessing this dimension, whether intentionally or by accident. It would seem that prophets, seers, and remote viewers have the ability to transcend the fourth dimension, at least occasionally, and some at will. It is conceivable that advanced beings from other worlds have visited our planet Earth in the past by traveling in the fourth dimension, where time travel is possible. In this dimension, it is possible to travel or witness in the present, past, and future time. It would also be possible to travel anywhere in the temple universe in a short span of time. That is why the fourth dimension is called space-time. In non-religious writings, there are reports of those who have out-of-body, OBE, experiences. Parapsychologists generally classify OBEs in two ways. One way is according to the circumstances under which the OBE took place. The basic classification is called an enforced or induced OBE through an event such as trauma or an accident or emotional shock. The other, large class of OBEs happen without any apparent reason, on the verge of sleeping or sitting in a classroom. These are widely termed natural OBEs. Most of the time, these happen spontaneously, but a few individuals can bring on an OBE, apparently, at will. Most of the documentation surrounding spontaneous OBEs, including induced OBEs, reveals a common thread. The participant often views his own body and the surrounding area from another perspective, usually from above. The reports of disembodied travel to faraway places that point are common, including to the past, to the future, and even to the long dark hallway or tunnel with a light at the end. Thousands of participants returned with accurate descriptions of those locations and time periods. The OBE adept, one who can have an OBE at will, can travel thousands of miles to distant lands or planets, even under the sea, or in different time periods, in an instant. Thousands of well-documented experiments have been conducted to discover the source of these direct observations. The current term for the OBE adept is the remote viewer. Hundreds of thousands of remote viewers have been tested under countless conditions designed to eliminate any chance or error for more than 100 years. OBEers have not only accurately described surroundings at impossible distances and time zones, they have communicated with persons and electronic devices at those locations. The proof is irrefutable and explainable only by the existential travel of the non-physical or spiritual part of the person with the OBE. The many hundreds of religious writers maintain that a certain level of worthiness is required to pass from one heaven to the next. The records support the state of goodness or righteousness relative to God, increasing from the lowest heaven to the highest. They all agree that the God of the universes or creator resides in the highest, while the ruler of badness or evil resides in the lowest heaven. There is a common belief that the amount of light or glory increases from the lowest to the highest heavens. In every case where common mortal man was allowed to see God face to face, that person must undergo a temporary physical change or transfiguration to withstand the light or glory of God. The mortal's physical state returns to normal shortly after the visitation is over, but the experience has been recorded as being exhausting. Peter, James, and John underwent this change on the Mount of Transfiguration. Joseph Smith saw the Father and the Son in the spring of 1820 in Palmyra, New York. His testimony of that experience is consistent with those of others who saw and heard the Father. The Apostle Paul, Muhammad, Moses, Alma, and other religious figures have also undergone the same temporary physical change. It is clear from these accounts that there is some credence to the elevated glory, light, or energy from one heaven to the next. Many hundreds of technical writers also maintain that these heavens do exist, and that there is a way for at least the disembodied person to travel between at least two of them. The evidence proves that time may be transcended as well. Precognition not only sees the future, but has empowered many observers to cause a different future by changing the events that led to the observed future. Not stepping onto an airplane, train, or elevator that one has witnessed through remote viewing is going to crash changes that perceived future by not including the observer in the otherwise unavoidable crash. If the pre-warned person can actually stop the accident from occurring somehow, then the future has been even more profoundly averted. There is even statistically significant evidence that remote viewers with psychokinetic abilities have been able to view the past and change it while in the past, thus producing a comparable set of pasts observable in present time. Again, the evidence is irrefutable and plentiful. There are places on this earth that are alleged to be portals or vortexes of entry into the next heaven. For these places to be remembered as such, an unusual event occurred at that site, linking heaven and earth. These events were remembered by writings or oral traditions. Such sites are still considered sacred to many. One site is found in the ruins of the ancient lost city of the Incas, Machu Picchu, located high in the Andes. Situated on a high rise, a large, odd-shaped rock called Intihuatana actually vibrates continually. These vibrations or energy force fields can be felt a few inches from the rock without touching it. It is an ancient belief among the Incas living there that this rock marked the location of an entrance, gate, or portal to heaven, and was a sacred site. It is said that there were other rocks similar to that one located in some of the other ancient Incan cities that possessed the same properties. The Spanish destroyed these rocks in their conquest of the Inca Empire. The one in Machu Picchu is the last surviving rock. Another site is in Israel. The word Talpiot, which, as the Talmud teaches, is the hill to which all mouths turn. This hill is the mount upon which the temple was built, which Jacob called the Gate of Heaven. Jacob saw in a dream a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and beheld the angels of God ascending and descending on it. He beheld God, who promised him that his seed would be as the dust of the earth, and in his seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. When Jacob awoke from his dream, he declared, "This place is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Later, the Jewish temple was built on this site, and the temple was viewed as a gate to heaven until its destruction. The Muslims also consider Temple Mount a gate to heaven and revere it as a sacred site, because the Prophet Muhammad is said to have ascended to heaven from that very location. In addition, both Jews and Muslims revere Temple Mount as the site where Abraham took his son to be offered as a sacrifice. And an angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him." And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and gave him a blessing, and his seed would be as the stars of heaven and as the sand upon which the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. It is believed that the Cairo pyramids, tombs of the pharaohs, were stargates, launching pads, or ladders to heaven for the souls of these kings to soar upward into the heavens and join in the abode of the gods, bypassing the nether world. These pyramids have shafts from the tomb, ascending nearly to the top, opening to the outside in view of the constellation of Orion, believed by the pharaohs to be the place of the abode of the gods. The following is pure conjecture by the authors, that perhaps the mysterious Stonehenge sites in England, besides being a calendar or astrological site, was also deemed a gate to heaven. It is well known that the ancient ruin was deliberately built on a ley line, or magnetic energy force field. These lines were known by the ancients in South America, China, Egypt, Australia, France, as well as in England. Ley lines are also referred to as dragon paths. In Australia, they are called spirit paths. Many circular stone constructions, similar to Stonehenge, and churches were built on these ley lines in England. The Intihuatana in Machu Picchu is located on ley lines that intersect. In England, the ley lines were anciently referred to as the old straight ways. In ancient times, circular stone constructions were built on these ley lines and were considered sacred sites. With the coming of Christianity, these circular buildings or monuments were deemed pagan, and many were destroyed. And later churches were built over these same sites. After all, there was no doubt that these were locations of immense power, so why not take advantage of them? Each year, at certain times, the magnetic energy coursing these lines is said to be so strong that the churches and other structures built on the ley lines or dragon paths open their front and back doors to let this mysterious force, called the dragon, pass through. One of the churches, situated on a ley line, is named St. Michael's. The irony here is that the Archangel Michael was known in ancient times as the Dragon Slayer. Upcoming chapters in this book will discuss more on ley lines or magnetic energy force fields. The vast spiritual heavens do exist, though invisible to the natural eyes of man. The wind is invisible, yet we know it exists and feel its effects. We cannot see atoms, protons, or electrons with the unaided natural eye, yet they exist. Heat and cold likewise are invisible, and their effects are known. Almost all sacred scripture declare that these universes or heavens do exist, that entry into these heavens is only accessed through one of the many guarded gates. It is impossible on this side of the veil to envision the immensity of the creation. It is beyond the scope of mortal comprehension and finite mind of man. Perhaps 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 says it best. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.